Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Life's greatest events occur around reversals, when it seemed like we were headed in one direction towards defeat, only to have the unique to occur in which we found victory. We all know the agony of the opposite, of when it seemed like victory was assured and something happens, life went sideways, we took a few things for granted, and we were greeted with defeat. The power of the Christ, the power of the real Easter, the power of the truth of the resurrection is that resurrection is the great reversal of life over death, and crucifixion is the great reversal of grace over sin. Death seems to win the day, that sting, that victory that Paul would write about in the first written account of the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15. But it's only in a glimpse. And then we see the real victory emerging of that what Christ has made possible through any of our deaths as we lean into Him, as we trust Him, the reversal of eternal life. It's made possible because of the reality of all of the teaching and the life and the miracles, the work of Christ in his 1,000-day ministry on earth, the fact that 30 years before that he was born, he became like us so that we would know that God knows what it's like to be human. And then that experience of his life and then with a death that changed everything because he took on the worst that what life could offer. He proved the power of atonement and resurrection. My niece has a store in Waco called Saronia, and she sent me for this holy season a sign. And the sign reads, San Antonio, 7,227 miles to Golgotha, or Jerusalem. Meaning that there is a place and a time, actually in history on the map today, where we can experience that we travel and to get there at Calvary, Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, where Jesus was crucified. And yet, the good news is this. We don't have to travel past in time. We don't have to board a plane and arrive in Tel Aviv, catch a bus, get into Jerusalem, and then to have the experience. Because the experience has thrived through the power of the Christ. And of course, that's why you're here. Some of you have traveled distances to arrive just for this Easter service. You've gathered with friends and family in order to be together in the truth and the power of the story. Of course, that's why you're here, for some who are seekers wanting to know if this story is really true. And for others who have stepped into the believing and have seen the power in daily living. This is an Easter day for all of us. And my brief message does the connecting. Begins with one. It's the sixth verse in Luke 24 that Jill and Becca read for us. It's when the women had arrived and they got the word when all they could see was the proof of the absence of Jesus, but not his body. They heard the word from the angels. He is not here. He has risen. And as they were astounded, trying to absorb the news, then the messenger gave them the message. Don't you remember what he had said? And of course, that was the challenge. It was the challenge to remember how Jesus, throughout his life, had told them that the day of the crucifixion would happen. So don't be as surprised. And then by taking on the worst, then I would also overcome, remember. But in the midst of the push and pull of life and the disappointment that had occurred for them, they had misplaced that memory. But now it was becoming real to them, coming alive to them, and they could sense that something so startling, so surprising, was breaking free for them. They were amazed, is how it's said in the New Testament. And you know the word amaze is taken after the word maze, like you walk into a garden and there are so many shrubs designed in a certain way that once you enter, you're not sure how you're going to get out. But amazement is when you have found your way out, when you've discovered the passageway in which to get there. Or as third grader Jackson said last Sunday for his baptism, that I pray that my heart will be a map that will show people how to find the way, the truth, and the life. That we're here today knowing that there is this map of following the Christ, being in a relationship with Christ that gives us the amazement to show us how to make the journey of our life. There was a little boy that I remember that on an Easter Sunday after the celebration of worship, he went home with his family, and the family was having a big reunion for friends and family. And before the meal, he was told to go wash up. The little boy could be heard in the around the lavatory with water and soaping up. It said, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I ever hear about, and I can't see either one of them." You know? There is the power of the sight of his presence, but looks different than what we normally look for about presence. It's the sense of the power that comes by the faith eyes to see, by heart willing to believe. And because he has done the hard work, the truth in these days, we can be assured to know God does the hard work. We are awakened this morning with the tragic news from Sri Lanka of how terrorists set bombs, ablazing churches, demolishing freeways, attacking hotels, and more than 200 we now know to be dead. A sign of the work was trying to discourage an Easter people from celebrating the Easter resurrection, and the terrorists have been about that work from the day one. That's what sent Jesus to the cross. So two, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. That's what the messengers were telling Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joanna, the other women disciples, who had come to the empty tomb that morning in order to anoint the body of Jesus in the tomb, thinking they would be able to touch the physical body of the Christ. And in amazement, they discovered the body was gone. The messenger then says, "Christ has done the hard work. Remember, you were at Calvary. You were Golgotha. You saw him upon the cross. You heard his statements that, 'I thirst. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your woman,' speaking to his mother that she would have the beloved disciple to be her family going forward. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today you'll be with me in paradise." These words of the cross, they had heard them from the cross, and their eyes were only absorbing the loss of how they thought life would go. Their faith had prepared them for a different way for Jesus to win the victory. But the power of the crucifixion with the resurrection is the reversal to understand that we can only catch up with what God is actually doing in life when we see him bring recovery out of tragedy, when we see him bring hope and promise. Liz is a member of one of our Sunday school classes, is here this morning, and just this weekend, her husband, whom she had cared for, had passed away. She was here because she had cared for him in love and she knew of his resurrection presence. The sense of gathering again with believers around the fresh grief and also the real hope of what she is experiencing. Many of you are here today working through some really tough news in your life. Whether it's a diagnosis from a doctor, it's pressure in business, something happening in family, a deep personal concern that's pressing upon you. And here is the word of the Lord, is that he has done the hard work at Calvary. And that by his strength upon the cross, we find our strength in being with him. That Jesus didn't backpedal, he didn't cave in, he didn't run away. He stood up to the worst that people could do. He stood up to the horrors of what could happen in the Auschwitzes of life. And he has prevailed. And the power of the Christ people, the power of the movement, is because we have seen death face to face, only to look at the face of Christ overcoming that we know its power. Instead of showing a photograph of the Notre Dame de Paris cathedral burning, that Notre Dame de Paris on Good Friday gathered with an empty cross with the great cathedral in the background. The roof has fallen. The fire had hit on a Monday, the Monday of Holy Week. The world's attention was gathered just like yours and mine. But on Good Friday before the Easter, there was the understanding, one, that Christ is not held within a building, but that people that come to the building that is the church, that is the great cathedrals, that is the small churches, it is a sense that it is the people that make up the church, and the building is the symbol of rise and going forward. I thought of the steeple of our sanctuary that we recently rebuilt, that when the spire was going down at Notre Dame, that the spire was coming down because it is a sign that to the witness of a God who is beyond us. But the witness of that great cathedral was built upon an island in the 4th century after Christ. The current structure built in the 1100s, taking 200 years to complete, and will be rebuilt. But it's not just about the building, it's a signifying the power that there is a work beyond us that can speak to the burning flames in our world, to give us calm and give us ease that we would do our work in going forward. Thirdly, then the verse says in Luke 24:8, then the women remembered. They remembered his words. Oh, yes. The beloved disciple writing the Gospel of John, throughout his gospel, he would say, we didn't understand then, but now we understand, in which it all became clear. It took that resurrection to make it all come into view. And that's how we may view each and every day of our life. The great conversion experience in life is when we come to faith in Christ, and then he changes our attitude, he changes our feelings, and he changes our actions. Somewhere in my adult life, I decided to stop being that stay up as late as you could kind of guy and get up as late in the morning as I could possibly could. I discovered that I was always playing catch up through the course of the morning to early afternoon. Like I was trying to catch up to a good attitude, to trying to catch up to all the things I needed to do. And then finally, tag, you're it, I'd be there, I'd been caught up. And I just decided to become an early morning person. And just like the women at the tomb, at the crack of dawn, they were there. By which then the rest of their life, they could see all their life for the resurrection. Or that we may see all of our life and the power of the resurrection going through each day, beginning the day, knowing that we live in the presence of his power. Now, I'm not trying to persuade all of you to become early morning people. But I am giving you the witness that we may see each day, the best days and the hardest days of our life, in the truth and the power through the empty tomb, through the eyes of faith to see what he will show. This is what Anne can show us. She's a 104-year-old member of our church. She was born in December of 1914. Yes, some of you are thinking, was there really a year way back then? World War I had just begun. Recently had the chance to visit with her. In the midst of our visiting together through the course of her life is a sense of a witness of a long life lived and lived well, as a sign of the accumulation of years folding themselves up into a witness of the power of God to abide during all of life's difficult and celebration moments. We live life one day at a time, right? And in each of these days, it's an Easter day, it's an Easter story. Sometimes we can feel it and see it with ease, and other times it seems like a distant reality, but we can still catch sight of it with eyes of faith. And so, what do? But we believe. We believe, which means to trust and rely on, knowing this to be true in your head and your heart and your hand. Many of us have stood together beside an open grave. We've stood beside an open grave because a loved one, a dear friend, had passed away, and we had celebrated the person's life in the worship service. Now the committal of the casket into the ground. And there, we could feel the power of the Christ, who in that resurrection Easter day, it was said that up from the grave he arose like a mighty triumph o'er his foes. The power of the Christ speaks to us around the graveside. But we also know that we don't play games around the graveside. It's what we feel is what we actually feel, what we actually believe. And in that moment, it becomes clear to us of where we really are in this whole matter of resurrection and Easter. And there the Christ gives us that gentle witness to say, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm with you. It's like the lady when we were going in Christmas season and we were singing in various nursing homes. And yes, Jacob, I really did sing in that nursing home and they didn't throw me out. And the welcome eyes heard me and received the witness of my out-of-tune voice. And I asked, I said, what would you like for us to sing? She says, my favorite Christmas song is Because He Lives, which is the great Easter song. But she'd gotten the message. She knew it to be true. She knew that the power of the connection of the Christmas, the feel-good season, when we celebrate on December the 25th that Christ was born in the world, the Messiah mission had begun. He became like us in human form. He became like a baby, like a toddler, like one who was just learning how to live in this world as a human being, and yet fully divine. 30 years. He lived in that sense of not everybody understanding that this was the Messiah in the midst of Nazareth, of Galilee, or in Jerusalem. And then the light shined and shone upon the world of his day, and it shines upon our world today that we may know that this Messiah is real and true. When you're reading a book, when you're writing a legal brief to be presented in court, when you're writing your executive summary at your workplace, when you're making a presentation to dad and mother why you should have your curfew to be extended later than what it currently is, you look for the consistency in your argument. You want to make sure that you construct it in a way that it makes sense. You've written the paper for the professor to read. You know the professor is going to look for that internal consistency to whatever conclusion that you get to. Will the conclusion match the evidence that you've presented? See, Jesus, in 33 years of life, in 3 years of a public ministry, showed the absolute consistency of his life and witness to have the power of Calvary and the power of the empty tomb. And that the empty tomb is the sign of his resurrected presence fulfilled in the Holy Spirit with us right now. On occasion, I'll return to our family cemetery plot in Bernie and go and visit dad and mother's grave. But like there as you and going to similar locations, I know it's not where they are. But it's where we had once gathered and gave a celebration that when their bodies were being committed into the ground, that their body had completed the purpose and the sting of death was gone. The victory of the grave has been won over the power of the Christ. See, it's in the grieving that we name what is lost. It's in the thank you. It's in the gratitude that we're able to say what is good. And it is in the growing and the giving that we're able to take that life from the past and let it live among us today as a resurrected witness in our life and to sense the presence of God's love having won in that person's life. John gave a witness from the baptistry like Jackson last Sunday. And each of them were baptized into the waters that I baptize you, my brother, or later be my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who in Christ showed you how to live, who died on the cross for your sins to be forgiven, and immersed into the water like he was buried in the grave to raise and walk in a new life. That's the power of believing. It is the power of the absolute reality. That the historical witness of the death and the resurrection of Christ meets the standard of the day from the four Gospels, the writing of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, and the New Testament witness, that it is written in more credible language of history and faith joined together than other historical writings of that Greco-Roman period. But we can't get there simply by reason. We can't get there simply by a factual demonstration. The reason and facts will shore themselves up. It requires that commitment to be there, the commitment to know that it is true because we have believed. It was a Christian in the 1800s by the name of Soren Kierkegaard who gave us the phrase that our society uses so often to take a leap of faith. meaning to make a commitment. But Kierkegaard was saying, it's the leap of faith in trusting in Christ by which then we know that the leap is sure and true. It's what we're taking the leap into. That's why we can't simply say the simple words like magical dust and saying it's going to be okay. Without that, it's going to be okay being grounded in a reality that there is a love that will not let go. There is a way that we'll work together to find that way forward. There are the resources that we'll bring together to bear on the situation and find our way through. There is the power of the resurrected Christ that speaks to the suffering. Because of God, we know the great reversal happens as we yield into His presence. Johnny Bush is with us this morning. He once had lost his voice, known like Willie Nelson, and then at the height of the growth of his popularity, he could not sing. And then with his daughter and with others praying with him, then he worked and found a way for that voice to be reclaimed to again to make the tunes of the Texas country and Western music to sing again on the dance floors of life. When all seems lost, placed into the hands of God. God will either show something new and better and different, or will be able to reclaim that which seemed to be lost with a touch of the power of seeing it as though for the first time. So Paul would write, at the end of his resurrecting chapter, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, what I will say frequently, at a graveside. Therefore, since the resurrection is true, brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord, your life in the Christ, is never in vain. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ the Lord, He is risen today. We step into the invitation, just like the women at the tomb, just like Peter and John when they ran there, just like the doubting Thomas, just like the early disciples. We're here at an invitation time, at a critical moment in American history and world history. We're here at this moment, personally in our lives, just as they are, to say, this is what I believe in the Christ, and I give my life to Him. I'll be standing here. For those who on this sacred day want your name to be written in the book of life, written in the recording of the reality that you have said, I believe in Jesus. He's forgiven me my sins. I give my life to Him. I have found the end of myself, only discover who I really am in light of Jesus. That you give your life to Christ. Or to join in the life of the Trinity family, skin in the game together as brothers and sisters in our membership. Sarah and Vicky will also be up here for someone, if you'd like, for someone to just pray with you in this Easter season. As we sing, we pray, respond, and give our updates to the Lord, let the history of the resurrection be written in you. Let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.